Okay, good morning, all of y'all. So, so much of the one-man show tomorrow night has been me going through, you know, what I want to do, and I'm narrowing it down, And there have been some things that I've...
And I overslept this morning, god damn it.
I fucking overslept this morning, this guy fucked up, but... Plus, I can't find my hat, my fucking, my Silver Strand Beach ski caps. Where are those? Motherfucker! So much of what I've been doing is just going over in my head what I want to do on this pre-show tomorrow. Oh, look at this, Dildo. There's an actual name of a town. Craig Fisher sends in something for the filth file. It's in Newfoundland and Labrador, a place called Dildo. We have got to place that on the Margaret Gray filth file thing. Definitely. I'm going to show this to you guys here. I think that's on the Margaret Gray page. If you haven't been to the Margaret Gray fan page, well, you're just letting the better part of life pass you by. Wait a minute. It's Twitter, isn't it? I mean, it's Facebook. And then we have a couple of pieces of video to show you, one of which is Donald Sterling telling some reporter to fuck himself, which is always, you know, always a welcome addition to any... Let me see here, man. What is this? That's Tom Kelly, is our Australian friend. Yeah, fanny means, it means vagina in Australia, right? It does not mean bottom. Wait a minute, man. God damn it. Messages. I don't want the timeline, motherfucker. Jesus fucking Christ.
Where the hell is this stuff, man?
Here it is. There's a nice big picture there for you. Isn't that great? Jesus. Well, that's huge, man. That's just... Anyway, Dildo. Okay? So, let me post this motherfucker where everybody can see it. Margaret always gets excited about this kind of shit. Don't you, Margaret?
Well, what do you mean excited? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm excited about a sign that says dildo. God, you, there isn't a bottom that you haven't plumbed.
Thank you. Many people say, who is that character again, Phil? That's my mom. That's my mother. My mother was like that, you know. And I say that with love. You know, look, we love our mothers. I mean, that's just where that's at. But the fact of the matter remains that they caused no end of fucking psychic storm in our lives. You know, as my one of my friends has a pillow, and on it is embroidered the phrase, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. And I think that pretty much tells the story, sports fans. So, you know, as much as I do, well, my mother was just the most petty fucking person, you know. Just anything, man. You could just say to her, hey, Mom, you burned the toast.
So I burned the toast, you know.
Maybe that's probably too extreme. L.A. sees major increase in earthquakes. Well, here's a really great thing to consider. L.A. sees major increase in earthquakes. Hmm. Okay. That's great. Should I get more earthquake? I guess you want me to get a better earthquake kit, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll all have better earthquake kits. You know, what else do you want me to do, man? Do you want me to get... Where the hell were these people? Was this a restaurant? Oh, it was a casino. 1994, they were showing a video of people running out of different places. Okay. Who's this from? Craig Taylor? Craig Fisher. But yeah, my mother was, she was a real piece of work, Daddy-O. You know, can you dig it? Sure you can. I knew that you could. You have to have seen Saturday Night Fever. Jesus Christ. Update some of your fucking references, Phil. Would you please, in the name of Christ? LA went through 11 years without a 5.0 magnitude earthquake from 97 through 2008. And now all of a sudden... All right, so LA sees it, and they keep repeating images of the 94 earthquake here, you know, the fires, people wandering down streets, you know, as if stunned, and, you know, just, you really want to get that fucking image in your head, man. Let me give you a news flash. There's a reason why they said a 5.0, because even above a 5.0, you know, you're not necessarily going to get fatalities. You're not necessarily... You could get fatalities with an earthquake under a 5.0. You could get fatalities with an earthquake that's a 4.0. I mean, someone could trip and fall. You know, okay. So they said... Now, the earthquake that happened in L.A. in 94 was... I don't know. I wasn't here. I was in Minnesota at the time. But what was it? Like, let's call it a 6.5. Is that fair? The Sylmar quake, which is the last big quake that I experienced, was a 6.1, I think, or 6.2. But, you know, it becomes exponential with every little point. However, that having been said, there's a reason why they said 5.0, because really what they want to say is there hasn't been a big quake like the Northridge quake. But you can say to them, well, there hasn't been a big quake. There wasn't a big quake like the Northridge quake for years and years and years and years before the Northridge quake. In other words, you had the Northridge quake, and before and after has been a large vacuum of no quakes like that. So that's why they had to have this, well, you know, in other words, a 6.0 or above, maybe even a 6.5 or above, something like that. There wasn't any kind of an earthquake like that. So they had to drop the number down to a 5.0 to have a fucking story. Now they say that between 97 and 2008, there wasn't any quakes above a 5.0, and suddenly from 2008 on, well, can you track for me any other random 11-year period where there wasn't a 5.0 quake or above? I suppose that would be too much work for you motherfuckers to do.
Well, yes, but we're talking about that milestone of the Northridge quake.
The milestone of the... What about the milestone of the Sylmar quake? What about the milestone of the Long Beach quake? What about the milestones of the various quakes that may not have been the big Northridge quake, but they were big motherfucking quakes and people got killed, okay? The Whittier quake. Okay? The Laverne quake wasn't exactly a teeny-weeny, itsy-bitsy teen. Is that... Please tell me that's not Goldie Hawn doing a Polygrip commercial. Please! I think I saw it. I think I just saw Goldie Hawn doing a Polygrip commercial. Please, God. There's Melissa Joan Hart with her hips and her ass. All right, father deals with soldier's son, Cat Dan O'Shea, and there goes this So there's Americans that are escorting this dude back to the chopper. There's the Taliban with their fucking guns. Of course, the U.S. had, like, you know, we had warplanes over this whole sad fucking exchange. This guy, Bergdahl, maybe, I think he's chatting with one of the Taliban. I don't imagine that you can be in captivity for 5 years with people and not learn their language to some extent. You know what I'm saying? Like, he probably is fairly conversant in whatever the fuck they speak in Afghanistan. What do they speak? Do they speak Farsi? They speak Farsi in... not Farsi. They speak... yeah. What do they speak in Iran? It's not Arabic. It's Farsi. It's a Persian dialect. And Afghanistan is technically a part of the Persian lineage, whatever the fuck that is, as opposed to the Arabic traditions and cultures and so forth and so on, you see. And this is what I've been trying to say to you in this lecture here at Bashkash and Palm Alipan University here, are the differences of the people. And you'll see that... Well, why is everyone getting up and leaving?
Because your lecture is boring, Professor Singh.
Singh. Everybody's name is Singh in India. Do you notice that? Why is that? Okay. Or Patel. Patel. I get these names. Patel. Vishnu could come down.
All right. So anyway, I've been doing the one-man show and running through it. And really, it's been a matter of, okay... The chronology, if you will, the bat, what I call the batting order of things that are to be done. And there's just one thing that I have a question on. Just one thing. And there was one thing that I took out, and then I put it back in, and I took out. I don't want to give away, any, even to you guys, my BSPs, I don't want to give away too much shit, because, well, maybe I should. But things have a way of leaking out. But, there's one area that I am not confident in, and that is the following. It's going to be a tiring motherfucking show to do. And I believe that I'm probably going to lose around 5 pounds, seriously, about at least 5 pounds in water weight through this goddamn thing. But then again, whatever. You know, I mean, if that's the worst thing that ever happens to me, not a problem. So I've decided to just, you know, suck it up. What the fuck is this? Mythical Slenderman plays a role in an attempted murder. Now, Slenderman is what? He's some other fantastical character created in a 2009 online forum. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you keep on looking toward these characters... which, yeah, provoke a psychotic person. They provoke, perhaps they provoke a psychopathic person to act out. Psychotics have a fractured reality. A psychopath has no emotional life. There's the difference. You think the two of them are related, they're not. The psychopath has no emotional life. The psychotic has a fractured and disjointed view of reality. It's a fantastical view of reality. And both of those individuals can commit murders. One based upon this fucked up world that he thinks he sees. For instance, the case of this psychotic kid who was used by his girlfriend to kill her father. And in his mind, he wasn't killing the father, he was killing some demon out of his fucked up reality. Right? And then there's the psychopath who kills in order to have some control over some human being, some life in his life, because psychopaths have no emotional life and therefore they can't feel anything. They have this complete emptiness and they have no real, you know, control over anything. Going out and killing gives them this needed control. Sometimes they'll keep people hostage, sometimes, you know. Paranormal images, Slender Man, a seed planted in fertile, bad soil. That's what this doctor's saying. He's absolutely right. That's exactly what it is. It's
You can plant that same seed in the healthy, relatively healthy soil of a mind, and it doesn't take root. It doesn't do anything. The kid sees it as just what it is, some fucked up thing. You know, it's like my kids playing, Grand Theft Auto, man. The kids, you know, I could sit down with them, and I did, and I'd say, so, you know, why are you playing this? Oh, yeah, right away, they're like, oh, yeah, you think we're going to go out and do this shit? Yeah, right. You know, I'm doing it, man, because it's you know, something you're never going to do in life. I mean, they had a completely realistic view of what it was they were doing. Russian jet buzzes U.S. military plane. This is Cold War shit, man. You know? This is Cold War shit. This is exactly what the Ruskies used to do. They used to love to kind of stick it in our nose a little bit, thinking, well, America is not going to do anything. Because everybody's always trying to get the propaganda advantage. So, yeah, you know, I've had it with stories like that. I've just fucking had it. The information's out there. The solution is out there. Let's start working on it. Let's quit fucking doing this shit. Just start working on the fucking solution. And the solution is identifying the psychopath and the psychotic and doing something about them. I don't know what you can do about a psychopath other than wait for them to commit a crime and then put them in the electric chair. That's my solution, but people don't want to do that because they don't think it's cool or whatever. You know, you can keep the guy in a cage, okay, and there he is in the cage, and guess what he's doing? Well, for the rest of his fucking life, he's going to be making life miserable for whoever comes in contact with him because he's trying to control this, trying to control that. I read a story about a guy. This guy was a real piece of shit. Real piece of shit. Completely psychopathic personality who planted a bomb in an SUV and then waited for his mother and his two siblings to get into that SUV and then made an excuse, oh, I got to go back to the house to get something. Hold on. Went back, detonated this fucking thing, and killed the mother and the brother, I believe. The sister lived but was burned and was, in fact, I could tell you the details. I don't think I'll bum you out. I mean, but the fact is, this piece of shit went to prison. Now, what is he doing in prison? Of course, he didn't get the death penalty because we don't do that in America anymore. So now we got him in a fucking cage. Well, what do you think he's doing in that cage? You think he goes away? Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't just go away. He's sitting there in a cage, and people have to interact with him. Now, being a psychopath, he has to control. He has to control. He has to control. He has to fuck with, in other words. That's a different... In our universe, it's called fuck with people. In his universe, it's making sure he's got control of everything around him. So what is he doing? He's bitching about the food. He keeps a chart. He's been multiply complaining to the fucking, you know, whatever the hell, about his goddamn food. He keeps his fucking chart about his food. Somebody interviewed him recently. The guy's now well on in life. And when he can, he fucks with the guards. And when he can, he fucks with whoever he can, you know. He makes up stories. He's just... And I suppose if you're in the profession of incarcerating people, if that is your profession, you know, the world of prisons and prisoners, I suppose you're trained to deal with this shit. I suppose it's actually the job, you know. You go to work today, well, I'm going to see who fucks with me today. I guess that's what it is, and that's fine, you know. But just remember that it's an occupational hazard that these guys, that they have to deal with. And these psychopaths have a way of getting into people's brains. You know, that whole thing in Silence of the Lambs where Dr. Lecter makes that fucking dude next door to him in the cell next door to him kill himself, that motherfucker, that's not too far from reality. If you get these people in close proximity to others, they can get inside people's heads and slowly but surely start to manipulate them. We've seen it, you know, in life. So that's okay. I mean, that's cool. You know, I don't mind. But for me, the best solution to a sadistic psychopath who is killed is to kill that motherfucker. Kill him as soon as you can. Kill him on the way to the fuck. Kill him after you arrest him. I don't give a shit what they do. You just kill that son of a bitch. And now these kids that did this stabbing, now you got to figure out what's the story. What's the individual kid? Don't go Slender Man. No, it doesn't end with it. What's up with these kids, man? Are there psychotic kids there? Are they borderline psychotic? Are there kids there with no empathy? Are they on their way to becoming full-blown sadistic psych? Well, you know, are they sadistic psychopaths? What's the problem going on here? Is it just a rage issue? Because there is such a thing as murdering out of absolute fucking rage over the way one was raised. You got these kids that kill because they've taken all of this violent abuse at home, and it's reached this tipping point, and they go out and they fucking kill. It's got nothing to do with psychosis and got nothing to do with psychopathy. It has to do with just fucking pissed off, angry, ready to fucking blow. And that's been the case in at least a couple of these school shootings. You got to read this book that I read prior to reading Columbine called Why Children Kill. And it was written by a psychologist, I think I even mentioned it to you. All right, so California Chrome is preparing for the ride at Belmont. Let's get some of that news, man. That's what I want to do, dude. I want to get some, you know what I'm saying? Do-do-do-do. California Chrome's exercise rider preparing for Belmont. Looks like nice weather in New York. God, I'd like to be back there for that. I'd like to be anywhere but California this weekend. I'd like to be any fucking place but here. Just nothing against California, but I'm so sick and fucking tired of looking at the same goddamn scenery. I'd love to just get the fuck out and do something else. I would love to go back to New York for that race. There's nothing like a horse race to take your mind off of this shit, man. I ain't kidding you. It's a great, great sport. And I highly recommend horse racing to, if you enjoy the sporting life and you're not a degenerate, as they say in Goodfellas, and you're not a degenerate gambler, you know, but you're sick and tired of sitting in front of a goddamn machine and just pulling a fucking crank all day long like you're jerking off. And you want to actually bet on something and wager something that takes a little bit of, you know, brain power and there's some excitement involved and there's a sporting competition involved and then by all means, the sport of horse racing. Now, granted that there are people that have issues with the racing industry and the way it is drugging or treating animals, the way it's... I mean, there's issues there, you know. And I heard that one of the opinions is that, of course, this is a sport that is regulated by state. There is no overarching body that has legal... that can legally compel its members to do anything. They are self-regulatory and all that good bullshit, but you and I know what that's worth. Like, how about nothing? You know, that and 5 cents doesn't get you anything but a jawbreaker, you know. So, there's that. That has to be improved upon. But I grew up in a town with horse racing, and I knew and still know horse racing families, and I know how devoted those people are to the sport and how well they treat their animals. Don't even fucking make any mistake about it, okay? Look, I know people that are trainers that hot walk, that meaning they take the horse out and walk it in the morning and work it out. And jockeys, they have nothing. There's not a bone of cruelty in them. They would rather fucking hurt another human being. Now, veterinarians and the veterinary sciences. Let me ask you a question: do doctors who treat people, do they fuck up? Yes. Do they prescribe the wrong things? Yes. You know, I mean, so it's very difficult to say, and I understand that when you fuck up with an animal, it's different because the poor animal doesn't know what's going on. So, you know, they're always looking for ways to improve the care and the treatment of these creatures. And are they getting better treatment than the average animal? Fuck yeah, they are. I mean, but that's not anything against the horse racing industry. I mean, you'd have to look at how other people treat other animals, you know. Pet owners, of course, that animal in your home, your domestic cat or dog, doesn't do anything for you other than just love on you. And that's all you need, man. And you'll treat that dog like or that cat like they're the fucking, you know, the king of the world, you know. But other animals, farm animals, I don't know, you know. I would tell you this. There are far worse cases of abuse, if you want to talk about animal abuse, far worse cases of animal abuse out there in the professional world than horse racing, where those creatures are pampered, and the, like I said, the individual humans that take care of them, I've seen them. A lot of the hot walkers and a lot of the people that help in the training, in the workouts in the morning, are females. And the reason why I say that is women have a particularly soft spot for animals. Women are about, you know, feelings anyway. But you abuse an animal around a woman, and Jack, you know, you better run. I mean, I've seen it more times than I care to know. And I know a lot of the people that are out helping with those workouts. And these are women who are married to or are the partners of a lot of the trainers, guys that I know. They wouldn't fucking, I mean, they'd rather cut their own goddamn arms off than have anything happen to that animal that is cruel or painful or anything else. So, all right, so there's my speech for this morning. Thank you very much. It's been fantastic. Let's see where we're at. It's time to start the show. We're going to get our Listen Live line going right now. And we're probably a little bit late, but we've been late getting our ass together in this here show. Good morning, and welcome to our Listen Live and to our tune-in listeners here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And we're about ready to rock and roll and get this funky thing going. And remember that you are mobile this morning. So if you're listening to us on your mobile phone, you can take this wherever you want, man. We have our mobile site that you can, if you're on the desktop, you can use your mobile phone to access our site. And Listen Live as well as tune in is free. These podcasts are up for a total of 5 days, and then they go behind a paywall. And that's just kind of where that's at. So let's get rocking and rolling this morning. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Here's a new one from Opeth. It's called The Cusp of Eternity. Oh, this has got a groovy fade-up or something, man.